This is Will's Band of the Week for May 18th, 2010. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will.
And this is Barrett.
And this is Chris.
Chris,
we're back.
Chris via internet technology once again.
That's right.
We haven't had you
live
in the studio for a while, Chris.
Well, yeah, I just finished golfing, so I smell really bad, so you wouldn't want me there.
It was a hard round, huh?
It was. Didn't play too bad tonight.
Wow. It's a rough life.
Yeah, I'm a little ripe, so.
Okay.
Given the small room.
Okay.
Grossinator would be saying bad things about me right now.
Okay, well, we'll assume that you made a good judgment call here then.
If somebody wants to comment on how I smell, how can they contact the podcast?
Well, before trying to do that, they should really just subscribe from iTunes because that's just the way to go. Go to iTunes, type in Will's Band as a search, and then scroll down to the podcast and we'll be right there. And then you click that subscribe button and you get us delivered to your virtual mailbox every week. And we've talked earlier about how tragic it is to miss an episode. It could be your favorite band and you might not even hear it. Can you imagine that? So iTunes is the way to go. But also, you can subscribe to our Facebook page, which is called the Will's Band of the Week podcast. I don't think they call it subscribe anymore, do they? Facebook changed it. You just say you like it and then it gives you the updates.
Right.
Yeah.
My sister now likes the podcast.
Oh, good.
At least in the Facebook way. I'm going to talk to her about it yet. But
she said she likes it, but you don't really know if she really does.
Right.
Yeah.
She likes it in the way some of the people on Facebook are my friends.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
What, you paid her?
We don't have to disclose that. Also, you can go to the actual webpage, which is willsband.net, and every week you'll see the cover art for the album that we reviewed, and that's pretty exciting, and also some comments there and recipes every once in a while, so check that out. And you can also email us, willsband@yahoo.com, if you prefer the direct communication route. So all those choices.
Do you want to try the Will's Band of the Week goulash?
Yeah, maybe we'll have to post
Will's Band of the Week jambalaya.
Right.
Well, we never did put the Will's Band of the Week beer can chicken up there.
That's right.
Oh.
Or is that so self-explanatory? It isn't to me.
I think,
I wouldn't know how to make it.
Yeah, I think Chris needs to do that.
So. Yeah, the work is really in the glaze. It's all about the honey marmalade, orange marmalade glaze. That's where all the work really is.
What about the brand of beer? How much does that make a difference?
I don't think it makes much of a difference at all, actually.
Is that about the heat, or is it something in the flavor of the beer, too?
I think it's just about having a liquid cooking up into the chicken. I don't know that the type of beer makes all that much difference.
Has anyone ever tried Diet Coke chicken?
What, to make this chicken skinnier or something?
I don't know what it would do. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It'd be a lean, mean chicken. Okay, well, you know, it seems like just when we are in danger of having no music news, someone conveniently dies to give us some music news. So that happened again this week. Ronnie James Dio, the legendary heavy metal vocalist, died at the age of 67 of stomach cancer.
Ew.
Sounds like an unpleasant way to go. Apparently he went through many rounds of chemotherapy. And anyway, just died a couple days ago, I think. And you know, we really ought to have a little discussion about Ronnie James Dio, shouldn't we?
We can. I don't have anything to say about it. To me, Ronnie James Dio was just a familiar name, and I don't know that I've ever heard his music.
You weren't really you never really were much of a heavy metal
fan. No, you guys are the heavy metal guys.
Yeah. I guess Chris and I better take this one then. Well, when I think of Ronnie James Dio, there's really one song that kind of defines his career to me. So let's play a little bit of that.
Thank you.
So that's when Ronnie James Dio took over for Ozzy Osbourne as the singer for Black Sabbath. And they put out an album, and this was the title track called Heaven and Hell.
What year is that from?
I was afraid you were going to ask that. Maybe around 78, I'm going to guess. But I don't know. I don't have the year.
Now, obviously, that's a little bit before my time.
Yeah.
And it seems to me all the people that are big, that are kind of mourning Dio these days are, or, you know, who have talked about him regularly, he really has had a resurgence the last couple of years, just from people who, you know, kind of recognize him for what he represented, not necessarily for what the music was. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was just, they look back and think that he was just so over the top, and, you know, he was just a perfect epitome of that style of music, you know, like the wizards and warlords and stuff like that.
Right.
So I think that's really why he's picked up, you know, popularity in recent years.
There was a good article in the Chicago Tribune, some blog that's connected with the Chicago Tribune, by a guy named Greg Kot, about Ronnie James Dio. And this was kind of funny. He quoted Billy Corgan. It says, Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins commented on Twitter, "Ronnie was a true gentleman and obviously one of the best rock singers there will ever be. What a sad loss. I only got to meet him once, and I can honestly say he was the nicest person I have ever met in music." And I was thinking, he met him one time.
It says Billy Corgan tweeted that?
Yes.
Because that's like a paragraph. You can't tweet that.
I don't know. Maybe it was a multiple tweet.
I'm calling BS on this. I want an investigation.
Well, my question was, how could he know that the guy's the nicest guy he's ever met when he only met him once?
Once.
Yeah. Oh, so he was nice. But
well,
you know.
I actually have a local angle on this, because just to show you like what type of emotion that Dio stirs up in people, the people of Wisconsin. A couple of years ago, there was a story, and it made it to the Smoking Gun. It went national, about a guy up in the northwest part of the state, and I'll just read a little bit from the news clip. Man beaten over karaoke performance. Cops: Wisconsin man battered singer over lousy heavy metal cover. Okay, so this happened on November 12th. The guy's name is Kyle Drinkwine, which seems to be appropriate. The Wisconsin man, 24, allegedly became so incensed by a lackluster karaoke performance of a heavy metal song that he assaulted the singer and a second man, police charge. According to a River Falls Police Department report, Drinkwine throttled singer James Mishler, 28, and his friend Cyrus Kozub, 29, over one's ability to sing karaoke. Though cops did not specify which song set Drinkwine off last week, Kozub told the Smoking Gun that Mishler was performing Holy Diver, the title cut on Dio's 1983 debut album. So,
yep.
This guy was giving a poor performance of Holy Diver.
Yep, not worthy of a Dio performance.
Right.
Yep.
So if you pull up short of a Dio performance, it's apparently within your rights to just strangle somebody.
Right. Well, he started, actually, if you go back in his biography a little bit, when Deep Purple disbanded, the guitar player for Deep Purple was Ritchie Blackmore, and he formed a band called Rainbow, which I believe was called Ritchie Blackmore's Rainbow, maybe for a time, and he recruited Ronnie James Dio to be his singer. So I believe that was his first sort of big gig before he got hired by Black Sabbath.
Do you know if Ronnie James Dio was the singer on the Rainbow album Straight Between the Eyes?
No idea.
Because I might have had some Ronnie James Dio as a 14-year-old.
So there could be some Dio in your collection.
Could be,
you don't even know it.
There might be.
Yeah.
Although I've since sold that.
Hmm.
But anyway, that's all I have to say. I'll go back to listening to this Ronnie James Dio lesson I'm getting from these guys.
Okay.
Well, my most recent connection to Dio is obviously the tribute song done for him by the group Tenacious D. And I think we have some of that, do we not?
Yes, we do. Tenacious D and their tribute to Ronnie James Dio.
Dio has rocked for a long, long time. Now it's time for him to pass the torch. He has songs of wildebeest and angels. He has soared on the wings of a demon. secrets that you've learned. Wow, your sauce will mix with ours, and we'll make a good goulash, baby. Dior, time to go. You must give your cape and scepter to me, and a smaller one for KG.
And I believe in the Tenacious D movie, Tenacious D, The Pick of Destiny, I believe Ronnie James Dio is in one of the first scenes in that movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was telling you guys before we went on the on podcast that I don't think I've ever heard Tenacious D before. I didn't even know who they were. And then you guys told me that it was Jack Black. And I have seen the movie School of Rock. So
yes.
Yeah.
And there is a Tenacious D movie, which is absolutely terrible, but it has some notable rock cameos, and one of them being Ronnie James Dio. Incidentally, also playing drums on that song is Dave Grohl of Nirvana and Foo Fighters.
Wow.
He played drums on the whole their whole first album.
That's a pretty good trivia item.
So there you go.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So Ronnie James Dio, he really did have a, you know, he was a pretty highly regarded metal guy.
Oh my, is the ghost of Dio in there now? Did he just walk in?
It's the ghost of the dog, I think, coming to investigate Barrett.
Yeah, Will's dog hates me. I've given him...
Listen to that.
The last three times I came in and he greeted me with scowls, and Will gave me biscuits to give him, thinking that would sway him, but... he sees right through that. I think he noticed that Will gave me the biscuit. I told him that I brought it from home, but
he said, "I'm not going to fall for that."
He's not that dumb, but he will take it.
Give him a Dio CD.
Yeah,
maybe
man.
He'll appreciate that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Could be. He needs something. He needs something to calm down.
He's more of a Slayer dog.
Yeah, that could be. I haven't fully explored his musical taste yet. Okay, I have one other musical item before we get to our main band this week. And, you know, we've talked about exploring the local angle a little bit when we can. Last week I had a chance to see a band called Square Wave. This is a Wisconsin band with two former members of the band Ivory Library. You guys may have heard me talk about Ivory Library before. They were my favorite local band from the mid-80s to mid-90s kind of time frame. And in fact, I liked them so much, I asked them to play at my wedding reception. And they did. And it was a totally cool wedding reception. Of course, I'm biased.
All four of your wedding receptions?
The only one. The one and only.
Did they play the same sets at each one? Just kidding.
No, they told me they had played at one other wedding reception, and it was terrible, and everyone stood in the back as if to try to avoid them at all costs. And at our wedding reception, I mean, it was just like totally, everybody was into it. It was totally cool. So, Square Wave is sort of this reincarnated band, and I'm pretty sure that last week was actually their first gig as a band. They're just trying to get out and play a little bit more. So I thought I'd play a little sample. You can find Square Wave on MySpace. Their MySpace page is myspace.com/SquareWave1, the number one. They're also on iTunes and Amy Street. So this is a track called Certain. a square wave. Their music tends to go from the psychedelic jams to the moody pop, and that's sort of the moody pop end of their spectrum.
Yeah, it sounded good.
That was very pleasant.
They've got 21,000 profile views on MySpace. That seems pretty good.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I think that's good. Yeah.
That's how many people were at Will's wedding.
It's about...
Every one of them checked it out.
It was about... Yeah, it's about right. It says, when the noise subsides, we make noise. So, yeah. Square
I don't know
wave.
About you, Chris. Were you invited to this wedding? I was not.
No, I kept checking my mail for the invite.
Yeah,
no.
You make some excuse like we didn't know him back then or whatever, but...
Yeah.
Those are just excuses.
You guys really missed it, too. It was fun.
Oh, I should mention that we also all went to a concert together, right?
On Friday.
It was the triple bill of Clem Snide, the Helligoats, and a band called Canasta.
And this was one of the weirdest things of all time, because Helligoats show up here in town to play a show, and they have a song called Water Towers on Fire. And it just so happens, like, literally hours before the show started, you looked at the local news, and there was a water tower in Madison on fire.
Yeah, that is just crazy.
It's also the image on the cover of his album is a burning water tower.
Yeah. When have you ever seen a burning water tower before?
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really crazy. And Chris Otepka, I don't know if you guys can answer this, I'm sure. He was the acoustic guitar player for Clem Snide for the whole set.
Yes, and so now you guys had a discussion about this last time. Does that make Clem Snide now a supergroup?
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, is this typical? They've played together before, right? So was this just sort of a one-time thing or for this tour, or is this typical that he does this?
I don't know that it's typical. I did read that they did that and he did it in Chicago the night before.
I mean, he fit in really well, and it was, right. You know, adding a little acoustic guitar coloring to the sound, which I thought was good.
And the first time we saw Helligoats, it was a completely unplugged acoustic show, and I actually preferred that. I don't know about you guys, but
plugged in
and rocking out a little bit, I liked it. I liked it somewhat less.
I kind of liked I don't know, maybe because I had already seen the unplugged, I thought it was kind of cool to see the plugged version.
Yeah.
So, you know, they can do it both ways, I think.
Yeah, this time they brought the keyboard player along with them, which they didn't have last time, so it kind of made for a little bit kind of a fuller sound.
And I did get to talk to Chris Otepka's dad for a few minutes, and a great guy. It was that was kind of cool. Came up from Chicago to see his son play. You like to see that. I like to see it because, you know, if I've played in a band, you know, where my parents came, and I thought it's kind of, you know, should I be embarrassed by this, you know? But I think there's, like, more parents going to see their kids' bands than you realize, you know?
We went to see David Mead at Cafe Momar, and his dad was there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, his dad.
You remember that?
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. But didn't his dad, like, get a leave of absence from work? I mean, he was following him all over the place.
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty cool if you're, like, a single guy. And, yeah. You know, you just kind of take your dad out on tour with you. I don't know.
Was he the guy that did the record store appearance where you guys were the only people in the record store?
Yes, yes.
The two of us and then two other people, plus the clerks and the artist.
Yeah, I hope more people showed up for the show at night.
Yeah, it was decent.
Yeah.
That's good.
But he played very, you know, like dad-friendly music. You hear some things, I don't know if you guys ever think this way, but I think, wow, if I was in a band like this, I'd feel kind of embarrassed having my parents hear it or see it.
Yeah.
Does that ever cross your mind?
Oh, yeah.
Like if you're in a band called whatever. I was going to mention the American hardcore band from the mid-80s.
Yeah. I think I know who
you know
mean.
Who I mean.
Right.
It starts with it's a like... C. And, you know, how would you, like, you're going to visit your grandmother. Hey, Grandma. Hey, what's up? What's up, Barrett? I'm in a new band. You know?
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that.
Well, I had a friend that was in my very first band right out of high school. And he wrote a song called Where the Hell is Budokan? And that was our first song we ever did. And he was afraid of his mom finding out that he had a song with the word hell in the title.
Ooh. That's,
so, yeah, that was pretty radical.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I could swear in front of my parents now, but it would still feel kind of strange. At what age is it just like, does it start being comfortable that you can swear in front of your parents? Like 50?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't like to do it.
Yeah.
I have done it.
Yeah, me either. Yeah.
More so in front of my mom for whatever reason, but
even like drinking
very
in front
rare.
Of your parents is still kind of strange.
Yeah, I used to smoke. I don't know anymore, but I would never smoke in front of my parents, even though, you know, I was like 43.
Yeah.
When I quit doing it. It's just weird. It just felt disrespectful.
Yeah.
You know? You gotta pretend some things are not the way they are.
Yep.
In front of your parents.
All right, well, we do have a band this week, and we should delay it no further, because we're going to talk about the band that's exploding on the national scene that just happens to be called The National. At least I think they're kind of exploding. I saw recently that they are number one on iTunes overall.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're ahead of Justin Bieber.
Wow.
Apparently.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's that... to me is very surprising. I know there was a lot of anticipation for this album, and that's how things tend to go in music. You know, if a lot of people are anticipating an album coming out, it kind of gets this groundswell and then there's all this excitement and then it really just sort of blows up. But the National's music, which I really like a lot, just doesn't sound to me like really, you know, mainstream rock for the masses. You know, it's kind of downcast and, just the whole style does not seem to me that it would be something so popular. So, you know, maybe it won't be popular for that long, but they seem to be riding a high wave right now. They just put out I think it's their fifth album, and it's called High Violet. And some of you might remember that I had their last album, Boxer, on one of the top albums of the decade on my list. So I was anticipating this like a lot of people were, and... well, I like it quite a bit, and I've got the initial impression from talking to you guys that one of you likes it a lot better than the other. So, who wants to go first on this?
Well, I'll fess up to being the one that likes it a lot, and that means that Chris, unless he's changed his mind drastically, is pretty, you know, pretty meh about it. But I went into it pretty shocked about the. You know, whatever, the groundswell of anticipation, you know, and they played on Letterman and, you know, all the bloggers had a link like, ooh, The National, oh my God, they're playing. And I really didn't understand. I mean, so I was going into it expecting to not like it, kind of wanting to not like it because that would have been satisfying to me in some kind of a way. But I failed in that and ended up really liking it a lot. And I was talking to Chris online. And I was like, oh, no, Chris, I really like this a lot. And I thought he'd come around. But what happened, Chris?
What, did you expect me to rip you for liking it or something?
No, I just felt I felt like I let myself down. Like I was going to be the contrarian here and the voice of reason and be like, like this is okay. But, I mean, come on, everybody.
Yeah.
But...
all right, well, I might as well just launch into my thing on The National. As you guys know, I am not the world's biggest National fan. And, you know, I thought they were, you know, a reasonable enough band, but all the hype that they get, the music never matched up to the, you know, the people that just say, you know, without reservation, oh, they just cast off, oh, this is the best band working in America today. Mm-hmm. I mean... but you hear so many people say that. And I felt like, you know, just I wanted to like it. I'm just, you know, I'm like a woman trying to get into the Augusta Country Club or something. Like I can't gain entry to this club as much as I want it. So I don't know. I gave their last album a chance. You know, we went to go see him in concert and everything. But I don't know. Just. It was just too monotonous, too unmelodic for me. You know, his voice kind of gets on my nerves a little bit. And just, you know, kind of the high-mindedness of the of the fan base that says, you know, this is the only band that matters and all this kind of stuff, when, you know, I think there are probably 100 bands out there doing much the same thing. Now, that being said...
Chris.
That being said, I kind of like this album a little bit.
Yeah, okay. See? I don't think we should give you the first pick, though, after that. I just... You have not earned it. So...
I'm sorry. I'm trying here. But...
That's okay. You know, I've noticed in the reviews there is that element. There's like... you know, maybe we're a cross section, right? We got 2/3 really liking it and 1/3 saying, I'm not sure I can really understand all the hype. And I've read reviews kind of to the same effect. There are a few people who have said, sorry, I just don't really get it.
Right. But if you look on Metacritic, the praise is overwhelmed.
Yeah, it really is.
Any detractors.
Yeah, yep.
But.
Well, Barrett, why don't you pick a track? We'll get the music underway.
All right.
We'll let the listeners decide.
Okay, I like a lot of the songs. In fact, there's not really one that I don't like. And I'm pretty sure that a couple of them somebody else is going to pick. So I'm going to pick number 9, which is Conversation 16. And I'm guessing that that's not going to be one of Chris's favorites. It might not be one of Will's favorites either. But it's one of mine.
Okay, we're going to start with one of the, we'll call it a deep cut. This is Conversation 16.
I think the kids are in trouble. Do not know what all the troubles are for. Give them ice for their fevers. You're the only thing I ever want anymore. Live on coffee and flowers. Try not to wonder what the weather will be. I figured out what we're missing. Silver cities, all the silver girls gave us black dreams. Leave the silver cities, all the silver girls. Everything means everything. It's a Hollywood summer. You never believe the shitty thoughts I think. Meet our friends out for dinner. Said what I said, I didn't mean anything. We belong in a movie. Try to hold it together till our friends are gone. We should swim in a fountain. Do not want to disappoint anyone. Now we'll leave the silver cities, all the silver girls gave us black. Silver city, to all the silver girls. Everything means everything. I was afraid I'd eat your brains. I was afraid I'd eat your brains.
Yeah, I think that one's kind of subtle, even for the Nationals. Subtle style.
God, if it gets any more subtle than that.
You know what I like about it, though? He's got a, there's an ease with the way he sings. It almost sounds lazy. He sounds a little bit to me like one of my favorite singers, Scott Walker. And he also sounds a little bit like American Music Club there, Mark Eitzel.
Right, I've heard
just
that
with
comparison.
That
yep.
Real easy, kind of almost monotone, baritone sound.
Yep.
But,
and I think that's one of my complaints, is just that he never changes tone, and it's just the same thing. And maybe, you know, I've declared myself to not be a big lyrics guy, and maybe the lyrics are just completely mind-blowing, and I'm missing out, but I don't know.
I think the lyrics are quite good in this.
There's some that I can't figure out what he means, but then I just sort of trust the people who say, okay, yeah, this means something.
Like in this song, I'm not sure why halfway through he starts telling her that he was afraid that he would eat her brains because he's evil.
Right,
know?
Yeah.
Earlier in the song, no suggestion that he was a zombie
right.
at all. But
well, I think there are a couple of...
this is a comedy album, then. Maybe that's what I'm just completely missing that angle.
I think there are a couple of real standouts on this album, and I like almost all of it. A couple of the songs are maybe drag a little bit. I think this one that Bear just played, I'm not quite as much into, but a couple of them that I really like. I'll play one of them here, and it's probably one of the more popular tracks. Maybe people have heard it already, but I think it's worthy to play, and it's called Afraid of Everyone.
Then I'm radio on, then I'm television. I'm afraid of everyone, I'm afraid of everyone. Lay the young blue bodies with the old red bodies. I'm afraid of everyone, I'm afraid of everyone. With my kid on my shoulders, I try not to hurt anybody I like. But I don't have the drugs to sort. I don't have the drugs to sort it out. Sort it out.
Still a little subtle, but I just think that's a great track. That would, right now, if we ranked our tracks for the year, I'm sure that'd be in my top five.
The only way it gets more subtle than that is if the radio is actually turned off.
It just doesn't have that excitement level for you, huh?
Well, so far we've heard Chris badmouth the National and then say that he kind of likes it and then kind of badmouth the selections.
Yeah, you said you kind
of
liked
it. So let's hear one of your selections there.
Got to be something,
Chris.
There, yeah.
All right. Here's one of the songs that I like.
Okay.
I know what it's going to be.
Ohio.
I knew you were going to say that. That's the one that I would have picked if I didn't think that one of you guys was.
It's about as hard rocking as this album gets, I think. Yep. They're from Ohio originally, by the way, and now located in New York, Brooklyn, I think. Where else, right?
I think they're actually in Poughkeepsie, aren't they? Maybe it is Brooklyn. I don't know.
So this is Blood Buzz, Ohio. We'll be right back.
car, I take it too far. Lay my head on the hood of your car, I take it too far. I still owe money to the money, to the money I owe. I never thought about love when I thought about home. I still owe money to the money, to the money I owe. The floors are falling out from everybody I know. I'm on a bloodbath. Yes, I am. I'm on a I'm on a bloodbath. God, I am. I'm on a bloodbath.
Yeah, that song is as rocking as this album gets.
Yeah, I think, there are a couple kind of earlier in the album where they kind of build to a crescendo, which I kind of like.
Right.
I think that would be my favorite style of their songs. So.
A lot of their songs do build slowly, you know, starting really slow and then sometimes finally, like in the last minute, it sort of rocks a little bit more. I think maybe if there is a criticism, I've heard some of the longtime fans say they miss some of the louder rockin' stuff. They've had a few songs in their past catalog where they got really loud, and there isn't really anything like that on this album. But it's still good, contrary to what Chris says. So, Barrett, do you have another pick?
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of torn between two, and they're quite a bit different. Second song, Sorrow, I like, but that is as low-key as it gets on here, I think. I'm going to choose Lemon World, which is number 7.
And then you can tell us what it means.
I don't have any idea what he's talking about there.
I'm just wondering if the Lemon World means sour or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a good guess. Could be something about drugs. That'd be another guess, right?
Chris, our lyrics guy?
Oh, you got me.
All right. Well, there's a lot of imagery in the lyrics that I was listening a little more closely than I have in the past just now. And it was interesting, but I still didn't, I'm not sure that I get it yet. Okay, well, I'm going to play my second favorite track on this album. There are a lot of good ones, I think. But this is another slow one, but I really think they really hit it with the melody on this one. I think it's great. This is called Runaway.
There's no saving anything. Now we're swallowing the shine of the sun. There's no saving anything. How we swallow the sun. But I won't be no runaway, 'cause I won't run. No, I won't be no runaway. But what makes you think I'm enjoying being led to the flood? We got another thing coming undone, and it's taking us over. We don't bleed and we don't fight. Go ahead, go ahead, throw your arms in the air tonight. We don't bleed and we don't fight. Go ahead, go ahead, lose our shirts in the fire tonight. What makes you think I'm enjoying being led to the flood? We got another thing coming undone. But I won't be no runaway.
This one does. This
Did you say that they got the melody right on that song?
Yeah, that's a great melody.
Okay.
You're not buying it.
No, I mean, again, I just don't get the hype that, you know, I can name 200 bands that are working right now that are probably doing similar things and probably
that,
just...
Chris, that's ridiculous. I mean, come on.
You listen to that song right now and tell me how that is any different than 100 bands that are out there right now. What? How is that any different?
Well, it's something you just can't articulate. You know, there aren't 100 bands. There aren't five
Let's
bands.
Let me try to think. I want to hear you come up with like two bands that the traffic in music that's kind of like this that are as good as this.
I don't know. I can't name any off
the top. That's not fair. I don't mean to put you on the spot because you can. It's fair to talk in generalities, and so I understand that. So that's unfair for me to do that. But I do disagree. I think that.
But why? Why do you love this? Why do you love it so much? And maybe you can't explain it. But
it is difficult to explain.
Can't explain it.
You know, it's. I really like his voice a lot. You know, and I mentioned Scott Walker before, and I'll bring that up again. There's something about the easiness with, you know, that he sings with that's appealing to me. He's got a very casual delivery that I like. That's not enough to explain what I like about it, but I think
slow core, and that, I mean, that's like a whole movement unto itself. I mean, like Low does the same thing, and
yeah,
I like them. And
this is different to me.
You know, that last song. Runaway, I think, and it's again a lot of their music is subtle, and there's a lot of instrumentation going on that if you really have to sort of listen carefully and see how it's being kind of colored. But one thing in that song, I think, is that he sings like an octave higher than he normally sings, which sounds just like a normal average range for most singers. But when he sings in that range, it's almost like he has to strain a little bit just to sound like he's in an average range. And I don't know, that's not like going to explain to you why, you know, you should like it. But I think that's part of the effect. But obviously the majority of the songs, he's just in that really low register singing kind of quietly. So I don't know. I think it's just totally subjective. It just hits you how it hits you.
And it is slow, but it's not like when I think of slowcore, I think too of also it's more... The songs are a little more spare. These songs are pretty flushed out with whether it's whatever. I mean, they're awash in sound. They're not really kind of minimalist as far as the arrangement and the sound of it go.
Right, it's a five-person band, and they're usually all playing. and sometimes they have one or two extra people on stage. So, you know, there is a lot going on there.
Well, what I'm curious about mostly is the fact that, you know, not necessarily your personal feelings about them, which are obviously very strong, but the fact that somehow they've become like this national phenomenon, like this type of music. I mean, what exactly was the tipping point? What was the, you know, like the confluence of events that led so many people to like them?
I have a hard time understanding that too. And, you know, I was assuming that I wouldn't like this that much. I liked Alligator. I don't know any of their stuff before that. And then I bought Boxer because I liked Alligator. I listened to it maybe two times and then I just kind of put it away. So I don't even know Boxer very well. So I was really ready. You know, I read one review in like the Washington Post where the reviewer said, you know, the National has been kind of underfamous and overappreciated. I was like, that's exactly what it is. And I'm still mystified.
Well, of all the bands that we listened to and all the ones that we've reviewed, I mean, it just seems a little strange that, I mean, there are dozens that we would say, gosh, if just enough people listened to them, you know, they'd be like hugely famous.
Right.
I think a lot of it is just timing and luck. And I think somehow they've got their timing exactly right. And they're hitting some kind of demographic, which I'm guessing is a little bit older, 30 to 50 rather than the, you know, 18 to 34 demographic is just a guess. Because, you know, you're not going to have like, you know, my 13-year-old son isn't too big on the National. Although there were a couple songs on Boxer that he liked because they're a little bit more rockin', and he actually did sort of like them. But, you know, he's not going to like most of an album like this that's just quiet. So,
and perhaps that's my objection. I'm just young at heart.
You are. You're too young for this, Chris. That's
well,
the problem.
Chris is actually chronologically young, too, being only 37.
Right. At heart and chronologically. Yeah. That's right. You know,
he took one of those real age tests too on Facebook, and he ended up to be like 29, I think.
17.
So really young.
I'm -4. Yeah. I'm still a fetus.
I was thinking, Chris, you know, when you were making the comment about being, you know, feeling like you weren't invited to the club or something, I was thinking, you know, everyone has their bands like that where, you know, you know, everybody who's a big music fan has bands like that. And I went back and I was thinking, for me, the Talking Heads were totally in that category. Like, I was supposed to like the Talking Heads. Like, everybody who was into music really thought they were great. But there was something about David Byrne's voice kind of half talking. It seemed like people understood the lyrics and I didn't get the lyrics, and I just never could get into the Talking Heads. And Barrett, you've talked about Arcade Fire kind of in the same way.
Yeah, right? I like it just fine. But
you haven't really maybe understood the big hype, right?
I mean, well, yeah, I mean, when Funeral was new, I was like, oh, you know, it was very different and I liked it quite a bit. But, I don't know. I mean, they've got two, you know, one really good record. I think a lot of people like Neon Bible. I think Chris is one as much as
I am one. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So two really good records. I don't know Neon Bible as well, but kind of overappreciated in my view. And you know, you guys can jump on me the way I jumped on Chris about the National, because everybody likes them more than I do. I get that. Same with Sufjan Stevens. I like him fine. Most people like him way more than I do.
And I think Chris and I have both said that we haven't really gotten into Spoon that much. And yet yeah. There are people that go just nuts over Spoon.
They go gaga, gaga.
Right, yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. And here's a couple other bands that I've never gotten, okay? Muse.
Yeah.
TV on the Radio.
Yep. Chris and I will agree there for sure.
Yes.
And then on a lesser scale, I haven't quite been able to buy into the Animal Collective or Panda Bear hype. Although I kind of liked the last Panda Bear album, but, you know, I don't think anywhere near like the people that were just going totally, totally nuts, giving it a 9 out of 10 and all that.
These would be bands that I routinely put on my iPod thinking mm-hmm. that I should listen to them and that I will one day. And then they just sit there and I never play them on my iPod because I'm just never in the mood to listen to them.
You were that way with Sigur Rós, right?
Yeah.
A little bit.
I guess if in terms of like mood music, I guess it's, I mean, if you're looking to set a mood perhaps, but
yeah,
I'm not an active listener of Sigur Rós.
Yeah.
And I would put like the Hold Steady in that category. I know you guys love the Hold Steady, but I just
Barrett's the big Hold Steady fan. Yeah,
Will's kind of.
I've been kind
never
of
happened for me.
I've been kind of gradually liking them a little more as time goes on. I wouldn't say I'm a huge fan, but I'm a sort of a fan now. Whereas I really didn't get them at all when like Separation Sunday came out and the one after that. But I've grown to appreciate them and like them. I kind of like the new one. Not all the songs on it, but a few of them are really good, I think. Okay.
Anybody else want to throw out one more band like that?
Anybody got a Not Invited to the Club band?
Let me think.
I mean, one band that has only one album out that everybody's like, oh, did you hear that? Oh, my God. How did I miss that? Is Gaslight Anthem, which I hate it.
Everybody, God, I think, is that the one that sounds like a 50s album or something?
No.
I don't even know if I heard that.
Well, it's called, what is it called? The 59 sound or something.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've listened to it a couple times and it just never, that's another one. It's always sitting on my iPod and I'm always like, oh, I'm going to get around to listening to this because so many people like it. And I just never in the mood to listen to it.
I just checked to see if I have it and I don't. I thought I might have had it and then never gotten around to listening to it, but I don't have it at all.
But so we agree on a lot of stuff like that. We're not always going to agree. And I think if we did,
it'd be pretty boring.
Yeah. That'd be kind of a, you know, when you can really violently disagree about certain things, you know, if Chris and I can argue about something, it kind of, what does it do? It makes me feel like my critical faculties are still working.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
I'm not just like, yeah, that's good, you know? So it's good to have a healthy disagreement once in a while.
You're not going to just like the new Lady Gaga album because Chris says you're supposed to like it.
Right. You know, he won't stop talking about that.
Like it
that,
or but not like it on its own merits.
Right. I've been pushing for that for like months for us to review that one.
Okay. Well,
I don't want to dissuade anybody from getting this album if what you heard on this podcast, you enjoyed. So
from
like
the
I
National?
Said, I like it reasonable enough. I'd give it like a 6 out of 10.
I think people
I just
have been listening to the podcast long enough to know that if Will and Barrett like it, it doesn't matter what Chris thinks.
Right. <They're> gonna... That's right. You know,
but 2 out of 3 is what I mean to say.
Yeah.
2 out of 3. Like if you and Will liked it and I didn't, everybody knows it's good.
If we had a collective like thumbs up thing, you know, I guess we'd go 2 out of 3. But then that would be almost every band that we've done except for the Shout Out Louds, right?
Well, yeah, we haven't done a podcast where like I love one thing and both of you hate it.
Yeah. Well,
which would be kind of funny.
Yeah. We usually try to pick something that at least two of us like because, you know, I don't know if it would be that fun to be like the lone guy trying to stand up for something that the other two guys don't like. Maybe we'll do that in the future just for fun.
Well,
defend yourself.
We can do the new pornographers and you guys can be in favor and I'll be the anti-new pornographers guy.
Yeah, but Chris is also anti-new pornographers, right?
Yeah, that's another one.
I'm kind of neutral on the latest one I've listened to a couple times. And
just the Nico songs, I enjoy it.
Yeah. Me too.
Okay, well, let's...
But I think we've got one coming up. Just in our discussions, maybe perhaps next one, our next one, I enjoy a great deal. So,
okay, yeah, I think I know what that is, but we can't tell the listeners yet, right?
No,
gotta keep them guessing. If you want to make sure that you don't miss the next one, make sure that you subscribe from iTunes, and you can also go through iTunes and make a comment. And I think that if enough people make comments that they like the podcast, something great will happen. We don't know what, but something good will happen.
You know where I see most of the comments on the podcast are on your personal Facebook page.
On mine?
Mm-hmm.
I get a few, yeah. Even though nobody, I think I have one, maybe two now, Facebook friends who are also signed up for the podcast on Facebook. So
yeah,
they don't want to do that.
All
I don't know.
My friends.
They're like free agents or something. Yeah, I don't know. Because you're part of the Facebook.
Like an invite to them?
Chris, I think you're the Facebook generation, see? And I'm like too old to be the actual Facebook generation. So the people who I have as Facebook friends are just people who, like, you know, they're late to the game, you know, but they're using it to reconnect. But they're like, why would I sign up for this podcast? Maybe they don't know what podcasts are. I don't know. Oh, well. Okay. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back next week with another exciting edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Night.
Night.